Now, I want to read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. And I'm reading. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. You see, the horse speaks of warfare. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. And his dominion shall be from sea, even to sea, and from the river, even to the ends of the earth. And I think I'd like to just continue reading before we interpret. Verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, in which is no water. Turn to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim. You see, that's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They're not lost. At least God didn't seem to think they were lost here. At least he knew where they were. When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee like the sword of a mighty man. Now, I had the question raised before when I've been through this section. In fact, every time I go through this section, when I start out in chapter 9, and I describe the march of Alexander the Great as he crossed over into what is now modern Turkey and took those great cities and destroyed them. And it's almost a shame, some of the lovely things that he destroyed. And he did it, of course, because he had an army of only 50,000 men. He was moving swiftly to world victory and to world rulership. And so he laid these cities low, and he kept marching, and then he made the turn to go down to across the bridge, which is the land of Israel. And the great cities that were then in the north in Syria, why, he destroyed them. Damascus is mentioned. And then you can see him as he enters the promised land, the land of the Philistines. And you can see also then when he came to Jerusalem, he did not destroy it. God said that he was going to encamp around the temple. He was going to protect it. And of all the places that had been destroyed, you'd expect Jerusalem to be destroyed, because everyone thought that it would be, because actually the high priest here refused to give the tribute that he'd been giving to Media Persia to Alexander, because he felt obligated by treaty, and he kept his obligation, and that naturally would infuriate Alexander the Great, and you would expect him to come into Jerusalem and destroy it. But this is the one city he did not destroy. Though he took Egypt, he took Babylon, and the Medo-Persian Empire went down. And he's 33 years of age. He died a drunkard. And he died with the whole world actually in his hand. He had marvelous charisma. His followers were loyal to him. And it is said that many of these peoples turned to him. He was a brilliant general, attractive young man with a great deal of charisma, and yet brutal and cruel and arrogant and all of that. And someone says, how do you know he's talking about that? Well, verse 13 should have made it clear, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece. That's what he's talking about in this chapter. And Alexander the Great is of the Macedonian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire that came over and became a world ruler. He controlled the world of his day. He controlled everything except Alexander the Great. And he died a drunkard. And I have a very wonderful poem. I was going to bring it with me today, but couldn't put my finger on it. It's a poem that begins, Jesus and Alexandria died at 33. Both of them. And by the way, he came down in a brutal way to conquer the world. And what Zechariah is doing is putting in contrast. the triumphal entry of Alexander the Great into Jerusalem was something to behold. The high priest went out to meet him. The Maccabees at that time went out, and Alexander the Great was very superstitious. He had a vision, a dream, of a man that was decorated like that, and that he was to listen to him. And the high priest, we're told, this is all tradition, he showed him in the book of Daniel where he was mentioned. And Alexander the Great's mentioned in the book of Daniel. He's that goat that has one big horn, and that horn was broken. That's the Greco-Macedonian Empire. And they were to rule over these people here of Israel. Well, he came in great triumph into Jerusalem, but he didn't destroy it. After all of that, he thought it was so remarkable, he wanted to serve the living and true God. And he came in and brought a sacrifice. Well, may I say to you, that was quite remarkable. But what a contrast. Now, here comes Jesus into Jerusalem riding on a little donkey. And he's not coming to destroy the world. He came to save the world. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come to form a great kingdom and get a great following that are to minister to him. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so he comes into Jerusalem as a king in not a triumph. He's getting ready to leave. He'll be leaving shortly, but he's coming back. Now when he comes back, the world will have had a long time to decide what they're going to do with Jesus, and they've got to make a decision concerning him, and so he's coming again. Now, we have in this section something that I think is quite remarkable, that this one that came into Jerusalem wasn't making a triumphal entry at all. He's on the way to the cross to bring peace to mankind, but he's coming someday to bring peace to the world. So he says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim. That's the northern kingdom. They had been rather warlike. And the horse from Jerusalem. The horse is the animal of warfare. And the two kingdoms made up of the same people, divided now. And one went into captivity to Assyria, the other to Babylon. And God says, I'm going to take away these instruments of warfare. Why? Because the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations. This earth, friends, will never have peace until Jesus Christ comes and establishes peace. Now, I have always shivered, actually. I tremble when I hear the different presidents that we've had in this country since World War II. And every one of them has talked about world peace and that they were going to bring world peace in. Well, not one of them was willing to recognize that he could not bring in peace in the world. Only Jesus Christ can bring peace to this earth. And it's just as simple as that. But not one has recognized him as being the Prince of Peace. And do you know that that's the reason that we haven't had peace? We have been constantly at war, and we have a standing army in Europe. We have armed soldiers throughout the world today, and we have fought two terrible wars since World War II, Korea and Vietnam. And may I say to you, that we even landed our Marines yonder south of Beirut in Lebanon. Oh, we talk about peace, but we've been a warlike nation. May I say to you, it's well that we stay prepared, but when you talk about peace, you're going to bring peace to the earth. You don't do it by war. Only Jesus Christ can bring peace by putting down unrighteousness. I don't know about you. I'm not going to vote for men anymore. I'm voting for Jesus. He's the one, and he's the only one, that can bring peace to this earth. He shall speak peace unto the nations. Now, that'll not take place till he comes again to this earth. And until then, I think that we, instead of trying to make peace throughout the world, we just need to keep prepared to protect ourselves. Because I tell you, this is a big, bad world that we live in today. And we've attempted to talk brotherhood and that type of nonsense. That's not scriptural at all. The only brotherhood that can be formed today is in the body of Christ, those that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, I know this is not popular today, but I have discovered that there are a lot of medicine the doctor gives me, and then he throws me down on an operating table and just keeps cutting and cutting on me. And I want to tell you, it's not fun. But that's the only way in the world I'm going to have help by that route. And the only way in the world that the world is going to have peace is through Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not.